It's time for the Rink Rats. With your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats. Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. We are back. Episode 2, Season 2. And we have our first guest. We have our first guest on this show. It is the voice, the radio voice, play-by-play, Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're great. We know who we're going to be listening to now on the radio. And like I was saying off the air, you have a great voice for radio. How did you develop that? Is it just natural born talent, or did you go to school to hone that voice?
Well, the first thing I had to do was to get rid of that awful New Jersey accent. I remember when I was growing up in high school broadcasting sports, my mom had to convince me that between freshman year and junior year was sophomore year, because in my mind and in my voice, it was sophomore year. So growing up 10 minutes from New York, you could imagine it's ball, coffee, and all that sort of stuff. So it's taken quite a while, I suppose, to shed that accent. And, I think when you listen to yourself try to get better and improve, you have a sense of how you might want to sound a bit more like someone you hear on the radio or TV. Because if you're not sounding like you belong there, it would be harder for the listener to trust you. So I suppose it's just one of those things that's happened over time. I've not had my own voice coach. I've had a few people who've given me some advice and some tips and some tricks. Everyone from a woman who works for National Public Radio as a voice coach to my 10th grade English teacher. Everybody has a tip or a trick. And one or two people who are not even in the broadcasting industry, who are actually in the musical industry, with some advice. So it's probably an assembly of a bunch of different things, but I appreciate the compliment.
Hi, Dan. It's Jesse Granger. I cover the team, Jesse, for the Las Vegas Sun newspaper. I'll probably be seeing you around quite a bit.
Great.
And I feel like when I got this beat to cover this team, and I'm sure you feel the same way, I think it's a really unique experience to cover a team that's so brand new from the ground up. You're kind of making the history. And do you feel like when they came to you with this opportunity, that's kind of something that you wouldn't get in any other NHL team if you were making the jump up?
Well, yeah, it's hard to imagine. You know, not only is it the expansion franchise, but in the city that has never had a major league sports franchise before. And, I just think back being from New Jersey, just outside New York, a big Springsteen fan, Billy Joel. There's a Billy Joel song from the River of Dreams album in 93. It's called No Man's Land. And it's all about the progression of a place that grows and grows and grows. And there's a lyric in that song about, now we got a sports franchise. And I thought of that as we were exploring the possibility of me coming here and how special it is. How many cities in America have recently gotten their first major league team? I guess Oklahoma City with the Thunder. I mean, not too long ago you had the Jacksonville Jaguars in the NFL, but there aren't too many places, especially the size of Las Vegas, that have yet to take on a major league franchise. So, yes, this is just such a unique opportunity that this region, which has had minor league hockey before but has been thirsting for a major league sport, it is a great responsibility. It is a challenge, of course, but when you go into this business, part of being a broadcast journalist and a sports play-by-play broadcaster is you rise to the occasion. You want to have those moments to pass along the story, to paint the picture for your listener. And those challenges, that's what we live for. So I am particularly honored to have this challenge, this assignment, to not only paint the picture of 82 hockey games and hopefully more into the Stanley Cup playoffs, but to chronicle the story of what a major league team, in particular an NHL team, means to this city and this community.
So speaking of painting the picture, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I actually have a question that uses that phrase specifically. How do you paint the picture without muddying up the action?
Quickly. it's interesting, because you might think that because hockey is such a fast sport that you'd talk more quickly. It's actually not true. There might be a heightened urgency in your voice as you describe what happens, but if you try to say everything that's going on and you just talk fast, it sort of sounds like the disclaimer at the end of a radio commercial. That doesn't do anybody good because it goes in one ear and out the other. No one can really process it. And then painting a picture on the radio, you imagine the theater of the mind. You want someone to see it, to experience it as if he or she is in the arena. So it's not speaking more quickly, believe it or not. It's being a better editor. In any given moment in a hockey game, there are 10 things going on, and you might have to pick two or three to zero in about. If you were to try to say all 10 things, you might be able to say them, but nobody would get it. It would just not click. So you have to be an editor, and part of that is anticipating what's going on, especially when you follow one team, like I will with the Golden Knights. You'll have a sense of line combinations and player tendencies and what we are typically going to see. That helps, so you can kind of be an editor on the fly, and then to have the right words. You know, is it chipped high in the air, bouncing into the right wing corner? Or is it fired hard off the right wing board, swimming around to the left corner? There's a lot of vivid action words that help people see it a bit more. And you try to stay away from cliches because I think cliches are lazy. But you want people to see what's going on. And it's not being fancy. You know, we don't need long words you have to look up in the dictionary. But you want the simple variety in your descriptions and concise descriptions so that people can process it without having to think too hard. Or have it go in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, Dan, you kind of alluded to it, but I think one of the keys is just learning this team. Since you've taken this job, have you started studying the roster? How much have you looked at it?
I've been following the team since before it truly came into existence, when I heard the news about Mr. Foley exploring an NHL franchise for Las Vegas. Wow, you can imagine not only me, but the players, coaches, anybody who's involved in the sport. Because a new team means more jobs, and lucky me, I happened to get this one. But I've been following along for a while, of course, with the expansion draft and then the amateur draft back in June. Of course, you go back to George McPhee and everything that he's accomplished in his career, player, and as a general manager. I don't know him personally yet, but I know several other people who do know him very well. And that goes a long way in understanding someone. And also seeing who he has hired. I know a couple of the scouts like David Conte or Vince Williams from my time with the Devils organization. A couple of the players I've come across, Jonathan Marchessault is one who played for the Syracuse Crunch in the Tampa Bay Lightning organization, and I've been broadcasting in Syracuse for the last 5 seasons. So I know Jonathan fairly well. There's another guy who is from Syracuse but was drafted by the Minnesota Wild in the first round. His name is Alex Tuck. And as a matter of fact, I just interviewed him on my radio show in Syracuse just a few days ago. He had sent a congratulatory note to me. I said, well, thanks. How nice of you. Would you like to come on my radio show? So you know some of the big names, of course, with Marc-Andre Fleury. A lot of people will immediately go to him and the goaltender and obviously his experience. But to get to know the team, yes, there is a good deal of reading and finding stories that have been written about the guys in the past and perhaps rifling through some statistics, but really my best way of preparing is talking to people and seeing people in person, recognizing their personalities, their habits. And then when you put that together, you have a better sense of who the team is collectively. And then that goes for coaches as well as players. And then you understand the identity of the team. So while there is plenty of reading to do and background research that I'll have during a plane flight here or there and cobbled together. Of course, it's a lifetime of watching the National Hockey League. So several players I've been seeing NHL games, watching on TV or listening on the radio. But really the bulk of what I need to learn about this team will come from talking to people in person as training camp in the preseason begins.
Kind of to follow up on that, I'd like to get your perspective on what your thoughts of this roster are. I mean, we've all been watching it and following it closely and writing stories on it, but you coming in fresh, just looking at what are your first impressions when you see the forwards they've got, the defensive pairings they're going to try to put together?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because in some ways it's kind of like almost fantasy sports because you have nothing, you know, you have no reference point. You don't have a team that existed last year. Oh, okay, they made this move, they needed more of this, so they got that. You're starting from scratch. So you see the players, you know their backgrounds, and you see, you know, there's a certain balance of youth and a balance of veterans. But, you know, you don't know how they'll work together. You know, you have certain, you know, whether balance of right-handed shots, left-handed shots, and those kinds of things that the coaches worry about. But it really is so much about the synergy. A lot of times people use the word chemistry, and there's probably something to the personalities jiving. But it really, to me, is on-ice synergy. You might have two great players, say, as a defensive pair, and they might, on paper, look like a good defensive pair, but do they really click? Can they follow each other's lead and so on? So I always hesitate to make projections or predictions. You know, I'm more interested in finding stories and sharing those stories. But it is an exciting team when you think about that balance of players who are up and coming, who very well could be part of this team for many years to come, but also enough of the veteran side of things. And I mentioned Fleury before, but, you know, Jason Garrison is someone who's just in terms of his personality, his leadership, just someone that a lot of guys will be able to look up to. If you could go down the list, you know, and it's interesting, you can look at each guy, but so much of what we'll learn will be, I think, when we finally start seeing them on the ice. And then from that point on, we'll have probably a better sense of what might be needed. So that's a long non-answer, I think, to your question. It's just so interesting to see how much there is still to go. And there's plenty of predicting and plenty of hoping for different things, but it's just hard to really know until we actually see it.
This is the voice of Dan Duva, radio play-by-play voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. Dan, kind of piggybacking off of that question, looking at the roster, is there a player that stands out to you that gets you excited that you might have the chance to call a big save of or a big goal or something like that? Is there a player that you just can't wait to call his action?
Oh, you know, if I were to answer that question with one person, I'd probably get in trouble with everybody else. You know, I hadn't thought about it in exactly those terms. And I think for me, having seen several of the guys come up through the minor leagues, there's a certain admiration for the guys, you know, who are taking those strides. And I mentioned Jonathan Marchessault a few moments ago. And of all the players who are on the team, I know him best personally. And what happens is, to me, in covering teams, of course, you're going to support the team that you are covering. But even when a player moves on to another organization, you can't help but enjoy that player's success. You want to see someone you know do well. So, it might not be an answer many other people are going to give you to that question, but because I know Jonathan pretty well, and he actually provided some big moments, in Syracuse crunch history in the last few years, before he went up to Tampa Bay and then ultimately to the Florida Panthers before coming to Las Vegas for this season, and putting together, you know, some of my work as a demo tape, Jonathan appears on it a few times from goals from a few years ago. So it's really a personal answer to your question.
Yep.
But I'd have to say Jonathan Marchessault.
No, that's awesome. And then, kind of one of the questions that I have is we're dealing with Vegas, who's not entirely new to hockey. Obviously, the Thunder were here, the Las Vegas Wranglers were here, but the fan base is going to be more along the novice side, where there's a lot of a huge contingent is going to need to learn the game as they're going to games, as they're watching this team grow from the ground up. What does that do for your job? How does that change for you, maybe coming from an established franchise or a franchise that has that fan base built in already that's knowledgeable, versus now you kind of have to be a mentor and a teacher of the game as well?
Sure, and it sort of goes back to what we were talking about describing the action. If someone listening to the game, even if he or she isn't very knowledgeable about the team or the rules or anything, if you describe it in a way that helps somebody see it, that in itself is sort of an education. And growing up in New Jersey, watching Devils games and Rangers games, you know, it's Sam Rosen and Mike Emmerich on TV, and Kenny Albert, Marv Albert as well, and Mike Miller when I was younger. So listening to those guys, that's how I learned hockey, by watching those broadcasts. And none of them were in a position to teach me specifically. You know, they just went about their business as hockey broadcasters, and by listening to them, I learned the game when I was young. So I don't want to, you know, sort of go over the top with trying to teach people the sport. As you said, I mean, I know guys who have played, you know, in the ECHL with the Wranglers. Mike McKenna was the goalie there for a couple of years, and he happened to be the Syracuse Crunch goalie this last season and into the playoffs. And he was raving about the hockey culture here and how much he loved being here for those two seasons. Now he's with the Dallas Stars organization. So a few people who I've talked to are knowledgeable about the game. It's just a couple of people who, you know, just a driver or somebody says, oh, you know, if you follow the Golden Knights, I tell them who I am. And next thing you know, say, oh, I'm from Boston, and I know this, and then I know that, and that. And then somebody else is from New York. There are a lot of people who have followed hockey who have moved here, and I suppose that there will be a good group of those folks. But the folks who might be native to this region and might not be as familiar with hockey, if they see it and hear it, they're going to love it. And if they're paying attention, then they're going to learn something. So you're right. There is an important element of helping people understand the game. I'll have that in mind, but it probably won't change too much of how I call a game. The reality is the game is just so fast, it would be hard to do much more than say what's happening.
That's a great answer. And mm-hmm. I think not only are you transitioning from East Coast, where hockey's been around forever and everyone knows it, to a city like Vegas, but just on a personal level, how exciting is it that, like, I don't want to hate too much on Syracuse, New York right now, but you're going from Syracuse, and then I think you did a little bit of work in New Jersey, which is obviously a little more urban, but to find out you're coming out here to the desert, to Las Vegas, how exciting was that when you first found out?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, just the thought of coming here, and I've been here before to visit, but never for an extended period of time. I suppose, you know, the 110 inches of snow that central New York gets will not be following me here to the desert. So
I hope not.
The snow boots will be staying in Syracuse. You know, Syracuse has meant a lot to me. I, you know, went to school there, been back in town for 5 years working. And it's a special place for me personally. But you're right, I won't miss the snow. And listen, the people there say, oh, it's so hot out there in Las Vegas. So, well, sure, but they have air conditioning now. and you know, it might be snowy in Syracuse, and I tell them, well, you know, you have plows and shovels, and you get around fine. So every place is special in its own way. But, yes, to think about coming here to this part of the country, and I don't know too many people. I know a few people in Las Vegas, but I know, of course, some who have moved out to Los Angeles, so I think I'll have more people come to visit me in Las Vegas in the first 5 months that I'm here than the last 5 years combined in Syracuse. Let's put it that way.
And so Dan, you are in Vegas right now, right? You're kind of getting everything prepped for the beginning of the season, correct?
Yeah, we're trying to get settled, moving across the country in breakneck speed.
And have you been able to just kind of enjoy it for a little bit over the last couple of days, or has it just been, you know, head down, get to work, figure everything out right now?
Yeah, you know, all of it is enjoyable, but there is a certain sense of getting things settled, you know, finding somewhere to live and getting stuff out here, that kind of thing. And so many people have been very, very helpful. And it's only been a few days since all of this came out. And you can imagine the number of calls and texts and posts and tweets and you name it that have just bombarded my phone here in the last several days, people coming out of the woodwork. So that's been overwhelmingly kind. It just, I can't tell you how much all of that has meant to me, but it has also been sort of a distraction in a way, because all of those people, you know, you want to reply to all of them and thank them for the kind words and ask them when they're coming to visit. So there's it really has been a whirlwind the last several days, but I wanted to come out to kind of, you know, put a stake in the ground and sort things out, get a lay of the land. And I know that there is so much more to this area than just Las Vegas Boulevard and the Strip and mm-hmm. where the arena is. And I've started to explore some of those places and get to know, of course, where the practice facility is, Summerlin, and so on. So I'm just starting to scratch the surface in becoming a part of this community. But all of it has been enjoyable, though I have to say a little bit stressful at the same time.
All right, Dan. Well, we really do appreciate the time this morning that you've taken to talk with us. Where can these fans in Vegas find you on Twitter or social media in general?
Sure. Yeah, the best spot is on Twitter, and the Twitter handle is the same. It's at Dan_Duva. That's at Dan_DUVA. And I'm sure if you search Dan Duva, it probably will come up for you there on Twitter. That's the best way I think you'll find it.
Well, Dan, again, like I said, thank you so much for taking the time. I am looking forward to meeting you in person. I know that you did an interview with the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish. I do guest on that show every now and again, and as it is on the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox 98.9, 1340 AM. So, Dan, thank you again, and like I said, looking forward to meeting you in person.
Oh, guys, thanks so much. A pleasure chatting with you. Looking forward to many more conversations. And, of course, first we have to meet each other in person. So I look forward to that, too.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So that was Dan Duva. Dan Duva has the distinction of being the first guest on the second incarnation of the Rink Rats.
Which, in my opinion, is a bigger honor than actually being the play-by-play guy for the Golden Knights.
I think that might be true because, really, when you think about hockey in Vegas, you think about the Rink Rats, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I do.
I mean, right now, we're the only hockey in Vegas. The rest of it's up in Montana, right?
That's very true. No. They're in Salt Lake City right now. They're in Utah, okay? They only had 3 days in Montana.
My bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. So, last week, we promised you that we were going to take a look at each division in the NHL leading up to the beginning of the season. We want to start with the Atlantic, mainly because it's the furthest geographically away from the Vegas Golden Knights. We're going to go Atlantic, Metropolitan, then we'll go Central, and we're going to finish it up in the Pacific Division. The Pacific Division is a division that I've paid a lot of attention to. I like a lot more West Coast hockey than I do the East Coast, but nonetheless, I have a lot of questions about a lot of the teams in this division. Jesse and I had a conversation the other day in which he told me he was very high on one team. I thought he was crazy, but we're going to get into that. So without further ado, we're just going to go from where they finished last year. So we'll start with the Montreal Canadiens. We'll finish up with the Buffalo Sabres. So looking at the Montreal Canadiens, this is, to me, it looks like a team in transition. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, they lost a lot. They gained a lot. Mm-hmm. It helps that you have one of the best goalies in the league sitting back there to let these guys gel in front of him. I think that's a huge help. When you got Carey Price back there, it takes a little bit of pressure off of the pairings and the forwards just knowing that he's got your back.
Right, right. But is he going to be enough, though? And I know that we've seen Carey Price go down with an injury, and a team that started with one of the hottest records in the NHL fizzled out and completely missed the playoffs. So I know how much Carey Price is worth, but is he going to be enough with the loss of scoring with Alexander Radulov, with the loss of defensive stability with Andrei Markov? Is he going to be enough to stabilize this team and get enough wins to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, because I don't think... You talk about losing those guys, but they also added Carl Alzner and Jonathan Drouin. And those guys might not be quite as good as the guys they lost, but I think it's comparable. I think Price isn't going to have to carry this team for the whole season. He's got to just carry them until these guys figure out how to play together. And right. I think once they do, the talent differential is a little less. And I do have them dropping a couple spots in the standings, but I still think they're a playoff team.
Sure. And you know, Jonathan Drouin is an interesting one to me because he was petulant in Tampa Bay, but he came back and played out of his mind. He's played very well, but it was for a short period of time. Is he the real deal? I mean, is Jonathan Drouin going to be enough to kind of get this team into a more offensively minded, a better place to score goals? And I don't know if he is.
Neither do I. I mean, I think 53 points, 52 points.
Mm-hmm,
with he played well. And it's kind of the same thing that Golden Knights fans are asking with Jonathan Marchessault.
Right.
Is that the real Jonathan Marchessault, or is the three goals he scored the year before the
yeah,
same thing?
Exactly.
And Canadian fans are going to have to find out if which one is the real Drouin. And I think it's closer to what he did last year. I think he's going to be good.
Sure, but my... And then the only other thing, Jonathan Drouin, obviously, he's from Quebec. He's a French Canadian guy playing for his team, his hometown, his favorite team. Is there going to be that extra pressure? Because we know the fans in Montreal, they love their French-Canadian players. They always want a French-Canadian coach. They always want a French-Canadian captain. Unfortunately, they don't have that right now with Max Pacioretty. But is that going to be maybe a little bit of extra pressure that he didn't have that kind of allowed him to thrive in Tampa Bay?
It could be pressure, or it could be he knows that these guys got his back no matter what type of thing. I think he's going to be a fan favorite right off the bat, and that might even it's tough because those Montreal Canadiens fans, man, they can turn on you.
They can.
But I don't know if they'll turn on him, like you said, because of his background. We'll see.
I think they're starving for it, though. You know, like in Montreal, they're starving for a French-Canadian star, and they have that now in Jonathan Drouin. So I agree with you. I think that he's got a couple of years, but if he regresses in any way or he doesn't live up to that contract, it's going to be pretty bad pretty quick. But not only is Carey Price probably going to be enough, but Claude Julien, to me, is definitely an improvement over Michel Therrien from just across the board coaching, right? So Claude Julien having full training camp to get his message into these players, I think, is going to serve them well, which is why I don't see such a big drop off from this team last year. But one thing that Claude Julien has to figure out is what in the heck is Alex Galchenyuk? Is he a winger? Is he a center? Is he capable of being a number one center? What is going on with that kid? What is Claude Julien going to do to get the most out of him?
In my opinion, the weakest position on the Montreal Canadiens is center.
Mm-hmm.
So best case scenario is he ends up a center, because that's what they need. This team is extremely weak up the middle. And as we know, usually if you've got good centers, you're going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. It's probably the most telling position in the league. If you're good, you have good centers. If you're bad, you have bad centers. And the Canadiens seem to have a gap there. So if he could end up being that number one center, that's best case scenario. But you don't want to put him there if he's better at winger and he's just going to be terrible at center. I mean, it's a tough thing.
Right. And it's kind of the same deal going on right now in Edmonton with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. Leon Draisaitl plays lights out on Connor McDavid's wing. But do you want to put $21 million of your salary into one line? Probably not. So with Montreal, they've got to clearly define roles for these young guys, because especially when it comes to a guy like Galchenyuk, because he's had such mixed signals the entire time that he's been in the NHL, he doesn't know what he is, but he needs to have that defined. So in looking at Montreal, what do you think? Do you think they finish? Where do they finish in their division?
I've got them dropping down to third, and I don't think it's as much that they'll be worse. I think it's the teams around them will be better.
Sure.
I just did a quick prediction of points. I got them with 95 points next year. I
mean, 95. Just, yeah.
So I think they drop a little bit, just lose a little bit of ground, but I think it's more the teams around them are improving more than they are.
Right. Okay. Good. No. Do you have anything else on Montreal right now?
No.
Anything you want to touch
Carey
on? Carey Price is awesome. Imagine that, Jesse Granger talking about how awesome a goalie is.
Yeah. Get
okay.
used to it.
All right. So here we go. This is the team that you told me you were very high on. I don't really see it, but then again, I've been wrong multiple times. Don't even ask me about my bracket from last year. It was atrocious.
I had the Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup, so I'm not much better.
Yeah, you know, I had the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup, which was so stupid.
Oh.
It just says, okay, as an aside, right? So we talked about this on the Rink Rats when it was me and Frank, but I was watching that Toronto series, right? The Toronto-Washington series, the opening round series last year. And I was so vehement that I was never going to pick the Washington Capitals to win the Stanley Cup ever. And then what do? I fill out my bracket, and of course it's the Washington Capitals, because it had to be the year, right? Chris Letang was injured.
Yeah.
Everything was falling into place for them. They had Mr. Game 7 and Justin Williams. Everything looked like it was going the right direction. And then they barely got by the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I said, I'm like, I cannot wait for Toronto to win this, because it'll bust my entire bracket, but I don't care. I don't care, because it'll serve me right ever, ever entertaining the idea of the Washington Capitals. It's never going to happen again.
Yeah, I will never pick them.
No, ever. Never. Never again. Not for me. So the Ottawa Senators, they came within one goal of going to the Stanley Cup final. Your thoughts?
My opinion, I think, I'll just say it, Ottawa wins this division.
Hmm.
I think Ottawa is much better than people give them credit for. And I think the reason is people just don't like watching them because they're boring, because they're not the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Nashville Predators. They don't score all these flashy goals. They're really, really boring to watch.
They
suffocate you with their defense. Mm-hmm. They have not spectacular goaltending, but really solid goaltending that they can count on every night. And they just beat you to death.
Right.
I mean, and I think that because that's their style of play, I think that's really the reason people are down on them, when it's not about scoring five goals a game. It's about winning. And that's what they did in the playoffs. And I think that's what they do this year. They have my favorite player in the entire NHL, and that's Erik Karlsson.
Sure.
My favorite player, and he's going to be healthy. The dude played on a broken leg and was still the best player on the ice for most of those games.
Yeah.
He's going to be back healthy. They've still got their goaltenders in Craig Anderson and Mike Condon, which every night, no matter who's in goal, you know they're going to get a solid outing from those guys. I just really like how solid this team is, and I think you can count on them to show up every night, especially defensively.
What about Bobby Ryan, though? Bobby Ryan has never lived up to the contract that he received with the Anaheim Ducks, that was then subsequently traded to the Ottawa Senators. Where does he go from here? Does Bobby Ryan have kind of another breakout year, or is he just going to be the guy that was drafted second after Sidney Crosby and probably didn't deserve to go that high?
I think he has a better year. I don't necessarily think he's going to put up those kind of numbers, but
sure.
I mean, I think he's better, and I think it took him a while to get used to his surroundings in Ottawa, and I think this year man, I can't talk enough about their defense. I mean, when you've got guys like that, and especially someone like Karlsson that can that starts the break himself, that I think just playing out there with him is going to help every forward that plays with him, as it has over the last couple of years.
Sure. Now, one of the things that I like about the Ottawa Senators is 2 years ago, before Guy Boucher gets there, they play a run and gun style. They lose a lot of games 6-5, 7-4, whatever it may be, and they're not in the playoffs. Now Guy Boucher comes in. He's got a solid defensive system. He's a very good defensive coach. This team is winning, of course, get to one win from the Stanley Cup final, and now everyone hates him. Why are we so against doing what you have to do to win?
I don't know. And it's like that in every sport. There are, like, the Lakers, for example, they don't want to just win games. They have to be the Showtime Lakers back when Magic Johnson was. Like, they want to be flashy. Here in town, the UNLV Runnin' Rebels basketball team, whenever they're hiring a coach, they're always like, well, we have to be the Runnin' Rebels.
Right.
No, how about we just win games?
Yeah.
And like I said, I think people downgrade the Ottawa Senators just because they don't like watching them on TV.
Right.
Which, they don't care if you want to watch them on TV. They want to win games, and I think they will.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I think anytime you've got a solid defensive-minded coach, you've got arguably the best defenseman in the league, and you have some capable forwards that can put the puck in the net and reliable goaltending, you're going to be right there.
Yeah.
And the best thing about the Ottawa Senators, too, is they're not like a team that we're going to get to a little bit later in the Buffalo Sabres. They don't have these expectations that a lot of other teams do. I get that they play in Canada. They play in Canada's capital. You would think that they'd have more expectations. But if you go across the pond and you know, if you go across Niagara Falls and you take a look at the Buffalo Sabres, there's so much pressure on that franchise to finally deliver, especially with Jack Eichel coming up on a contract extension, the final year of his entry-level deal, and all of the talent that they have there. It is time to deliver, and I think that seeps into a team that's young and doesn't really have it together between the ears. But when you're talking about the Ottawa Senators, what they were able to do last year, going so deep in the playoffs, when it was really open. I mean, the Eastern Conference was very wide open, and they made a couple of necessary adjustments at the trade deadline in getting a guy like Alex Burrows that's been down that road before. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would have signed him to a two-year deal because I don't know how much he has left, and I don't know how much he's going to help this team right now, but they went for it. They went for it last year, and I like that approach, and it shows me that they're going to continue to move along that direction now. So I don't know if you've convinced me that they're going to be tops in the division, but they're going to be a very solid team this year. I don't see them regressing very much from where they were. I could see them finishing second, maybe third in the division. Certainly a playoff team.
For sure. And like I said, I don't think Montreal's falling that much. I just think the Senators are going to be better this year. I think the Senators get over 100 points this year.
You do? Yes. What do you have them topping out at?
I got 106 for the Ottawa Senators.
106 is tops in the division. Nice. I like it. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go on to the Boston Bruins. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. Real quick with the Ottawa Senators, you mentioned Craig Anderson and Mike Condon. Obviously, we know that Anderson missed some time because his wife, Nicole, had cancer. She is cancer-free. Do you think that that's going to affect the goaltending tandem in that Craig Anderson's going to play more? Is that going to affect Mike Condon's ability to be effective? Or is it just a better situation overall for everybody involved?
I think it's the latter. Better situation. I mean, he doesn't have that on his mind. He can focus on hockey. Mm-hmm. They're both really good. They'll be better this year, I think. I like that tandem. They don't have a star goalie, but they've got two very solid ones. They can trot either one of them out every night, and it's basically you don't really lose much.
Right. When the numbers are that close, you're not having to change how you play in front of the goalie, which is a good thing. So, all right, cool. No, I hear you on the Ottawa Senators. The Boston Bruins, okay? Brad Marchand is a tough one for me because every time Brad Marchand does something good, he then goes and does something stupid. You know, whether it's a slew foot, whether it's a high hit to the head, whether it's just being the annoying pest you don't ever want to have against you. Is Brad Marchand that good? I mean, is he really that good? Is he as good as he was last year?
I think he's really good, and I think he's really dirty, and I can't stand the guy. But he's a good hockey player. He's one of, like you said, if he's on your team, you love him.
Yeah.
If he's on any of the other teams in the entire league, you despise the guy. I don't like the way he plays the game, but he's good at it, and he puts the puck in the net. I mean, he's really good, and that's something the Bruins need.
Right.
They've got a solid. Everyone knows how good their defense is. They allowed the fewest shots on goal in the entire league last year.
Yep.
Especially with the goaltending they have. I can't talk about a team without talking about their
goaltending. No, you can't. Absolutely.
But it's going to be up to can they score goals. And in my opinion, it's Charlie McAvoy is going to make or break this team.
Sure. That's the first thing I have down here. How good is Charlie McAvoy?
I think he's really good. And if he is as good as I think he is, they could very well win this division. If he doesn't live up to expectations, they could not even make the playoffs. I truly think it hinges on him. And obviously, you got other guys, David Krejci, Bergeron, guys that you need to score goals. But I think those guys are more consistent, and you can count on them. I think McAvoy is really the wild card for this team.
Right. Now, when it comes to Boston, a lot of what made them successful was this big bruising style of play when they had Milan Lucic and when Zdeno Chara wasn't a complete pylon out there. They've gotten away from that. It feels like to me to more of the speed game, more of the game that the Pittsburgh Penguins try to play, but yet they still have Zdeno Chara out there. I mean, when is it going to be time to just say, you know what? You've given us everything you've given us, but there's just I can't put you. You are a liability on the ice, Zdeno. You got to hang him up.
Yeah, I don't know when that happens. It probably should happen this year. I mean,
yeah.
And I think that them moving to that style, that's the entire NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And just to connect it with the Golden Knights, Gerard Gallant is a tough, bruising type of style guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how he's going to play here because McPhee won't let him for one. And for two, that's just to win in the NHL today, you have to play fast, finesse game. I mean, you still have to be physical, especially when it gets to the playoffs, but you can't just be that stuck in the mud, we're going to hold you up against the boards type of game that the Bruins were so successful at the last, decade?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as much as advanced statistics mean something, right? As much as Corsi means something. If you have Corsi and you have a high volume of shots, but they're all from the outside, it doesn't matter how long you're holding onto the puck. And we've talked about dynamic offense, right? Dynamic offense, somebody that like the Pittsburgh Penguins, where they're playing a series and they're getting outshot 2-1, but they've got the ability to put the puck in the net at any point in time. That's what you need. And one of the guys that stepped up and filled that role for Boston last year was David Pastrnak. Now, it was the first good season, like legitimately really good season that he's had in the league. Can he continue that? Is that kind of his ceiling last year, or is he going to get better this year?
I think that was his ceiling, and he probably regresses a little bit. But I mean, I didn't watch every Boston Bruins game, so it's like I'm not. I'm not as comfortable yeah. making a prediction about him, but I mean, yeah, I think if you can get that out of him again, you've mm-hmm. got to be thrilled.
Right. So given their goaltending, given their defense, given Charlie McAvoy and what he projects to be, where do you see this team finishing?
I've got him fourth mm-hmm. with 93 points, barely sneaking into the playoffs as like a 7 or 8 seed.
You know, I when I look at Boston, I kind of have them in that 4 to 6 range, somewhere in there, where if they can get hot, if Patrice Bergeron can play really, really well, if David Krejci can play really, really well, these are guys that have gotten it done. They've won Stanley Cups, so they know how to win in this league. But I just feel like there's some teams below them that finished below them that are just going to get a significantly better next year. So anything else that you've got on Boston?
Nope.
Okay, good. Let's go to probably my favorite team in the division, the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay? They're interesting to me because I feel like this is a team that is poised to make the biggest jump in the division. But all of that hinges on Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander not regressing, not having a sophomore slump, picking up where they left off. And in the case of Matthews, 40 goals, that's going to be very difficult to replicate. So how good could the Toronto Maple Leafs truly be this year?
They've definitely got the highest ceiling of any team in this division. This team can be really good. And like you said, your favorite team, I think it's everybody's favorite team from mm-hmm. this division. There will never be a time when the Toronto Maple Leafs are on TV and I'm not watching it.
Right.
They're one of, if not the most exciting teams in the entire league. You said it. Matthews, Nylander, Marner. I like Nikita Zaitsev.
Mm-hmm.
They are so much fun to watch, but they're so young. And can they... There's a reason that they barely snuck into the playoffs last year. Now, sure. once they got there, they almost upset, like you said, the Capitals.
Right.
They had them up against the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team, it's going to be tough to count on all these young guys. And they brought in Patrick Marleau, which mm-hmm. is a huge addition to show these young guys how to do this for an 82-game season. But I just, like I said, I think they have the highest ceiling. I just don't trust them going out there 82 games and playing their best hockey as much as I do someone like the Senators.
So let's talk about goaltending then for a minute. Frederik Andersen, a lot of people thought when they made that trade, when they acquired Frederik Andersen, that they went after the wrong goalie from Anaheim. They should have gone for John Gibson. They didn't do that. They went with Andersen. It was a rocky start at the beginning of the year for Andersen, but he kind of settled into his groove, and he was very, very good toward the end and into the playoffs. Is Frederik Andersen a legitimate number one goalie? And is he going to be the guy that delivers the next step in Toronto?
I don't think so. I think to answer the first part, I think he's a number one goalie.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the best 30 goaltenders in the league. I don't think he's a top 10 goalie. I don't think he's a top 15 goalie. For them to win in the playoffs, they're going to have to score goals. They're going to sure. have to do it offensively. I don't think this is a guy that can... You know how it is in the NHL playoffs. You get mm-hmm. a hot goalie, it doesn't matter what the rest of the team's doing. You're going to the Stanley Cup. It happens all the time.
Right.
He's not that guy. Okay, go ahead.
No, so like, kind of to prove your point there, right? There were a lot of times in which, you know, Toronto would go into the third period with a lead, and they would end up either going to overtime or losing the game outright. And that speaks to two things. It speaks to, obviously, a young team that's trying to learn how to win. And it's good that they kind of went through those growing pains last year. But it also speaks to me of a team that has a goalie that, while he makes good saves, doesn't make those spectacular save-the-game type of saves. And I think that speaks to your point. Maybe Frederik Andersen is one of those serviceable, good goalies. But in order for this team to really succeed, they're going to need a guy that can single-handedly win a game.
Yeah, and I think they can win with Frederik Andersen. Just Matthews and Nylander are just going to have unbelievable playoff series, which they're fully capable of doing. I think being up 2-1 on the Capitals
mm-hmm.
and then eventually losing that series. But, I mean, the Capitals, as much crap as we give them, they were the most talented team in the league last year.
Oh, yeah.
I think that experience of going up 2-1 on them and just getting their feet wet in the playoffs, I mean, it's been forever since this team's been in the playoffs, and most of these guys were in, like, middle school the last time they were.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think that helps them so much going into this year, and I think this year when they get to the playoffs, it won't be, we're just happy to be here.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to actually want to make a run.
And it's funny that you bring that up, because there was a lot of talk going into the playoffs from head coach Mike Babcock and saying, we're not here just to learn something. We are here to win, and we can beat these guys. Everyone thought he was crazy. Then they go up 2-1. And it's funny because you look at Babcock, right? And you look at some of the questions surrounding Toronto before he got there, most notably around Nazem Kadri. He's just he hasn't lived up to expectations, All of a sudden, Babcock gets there, changes the expectation. He says, you are going to be a shutdown center in this league. You are going to play against the other team's best players. You are going to make it hard. And if you chip in, great. All he did was score timely goals and play very good defensively. Nazem Kadri, to me, is really going to be one of the pieces, one of the key pieces to what this team is going to be this year. Everyone wants to go with the sexy pick of Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner and William Nylander, but it's guys like Kadri that kind of make everything go. And then the thing that I did that Toronto didn't get enough of last year was solid play from their fourth line. You look at Matt Martin coming in, and then they went and acquired Brian Boyle, thinking that that line was going to be a benefit in the playoffs, and they were lost at times, which is weird. So if Babcock can shore up the fourth line and he can continue to get that growth and evolution from Nazem Kadri, I think that this team definitely takes another step in the right direction. I like them around second to third. I think that they're comfortably a playoff team, though.
I have them second. And actually, I'm mad at myself for not bringing up Kadri.
Mm-hmm.
Love Kadri.
Yeah, and it's funny because he's a lot like Brad Marchand, just not as much of a pest.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, like there's something endearing about Nazem Kadri, whereas Brad Marchand just makes you want to punch, you know, a
him
baby
in the face
or something. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's the worst. He's literally the worst player in the league.
I can't stand the guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think second is where I have him behind only the Senators. But this team definitely has the highest ceiling, and they could go out there and get 100 points this year if all these guys that stepped up last year continue that progression.
Now, there's been some chatter about the Hart Trophy and the odds for individual players to win the Hart next year. Auston Matthews is, I think, third in that projection. Do you think that he can have a Hart caliber year this year? I mean, is Auston Matthews in the same vein as Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid in generational talent?
Yes, absolutely. I think he's just as good. Now, not yet. He's, mm-hmm. I mean, the dude's 19, or maybe he turned 20. I don't know. He's still a kid.
Still a kid, yeah.
But absolutely, I think Connor McDavid and Auston Matthews are going to run this league for the next 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
And he could absolutely win the Hart Trophy. If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick McDavid. I think McDavid isn't as good of a scorer as Matthews, but he's overall a better hockey player. But Matthews is right there. I mean, it's not like he's not close to reaching that.
No, I agree, and I like where Auston Matthews gets his chances from. It's not always on the rush. It's not always based on speed through the neutral zone. He's got the physicality to go into the corners and strip players of pucks and make power moves to the net. And I'm not saying that Connor McDavid doesn't have that ability. He just hasn't shown it yet. I think if Connor can get a little bit more physical with his game down low, look out. And if he shoots the puck more, that kid just does not want to shoot the puck for whatever reason. So I think we've kind of talked enough about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's go on to a team that should have been better last year if, you know, their captain was healthy for the first time ever in his career. The Tampa Bay Lightning are really, really frustrating because you look at this team and how good it is, and you look at all the games that Steven Stamkos has missed over the last couple of years, and you say to yourself, that's probably one or two Stanley Cups that this team has missed out on because Stamkos hasn't been able to stay healthy. To me, it depends on Stamkos. If he's healthy, this team is in the playoffs and in the playoffs comfortably. If he's not healthy, it's the same as what you saw last year. They're barely going to miss out because Nikita Kucherov is too good and too prideful not to try. Tyler Johnson is the same way. Andre Palat is the same way. They're just too talented. But they need their captain.
You couldn't have said it better. I have it written down. Steven Stamkos or bust.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Team needs him on the ice, and he hasn't been on the ice for most of his career.
Yeah,
he's so good, and like you said, Nikita Kucherov. That's such a good duo. It's hard to find a better duo. I mean, Crosby Malkin. If you're looking at just top two players on each team, that duo is as good. They can go up against any team in the league as far as just top end scoring talent. you know me, I got to bring in the goaltending.
Yeah.
They lost Ben Bishop.
Right.
This team is super young in goal. They're mm-hmm. sitting there with Andrei Vasilevskiy, who doesn't have a lot of experience. He's only 23.
Mm-hmm.
That could cost, let's say Stamkos and Kucherov stay healthy. This team is in the playoffs. That's where I'm going to be worried about this team when they get there, is in net.
You know, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because my question was, is Vasilevskiy a legitimate number one goalie? I believe that he is, but one of my biggest complaints with the Tampa Bay Lightning last year was that they didn't know what to do with Ben Bishop, and they didn't know what to do with Andrei Vasilevskiy. They didn't know who was going to be their number one, which is kind of a cop-out. They knew who it was going to be. Ben Bishop didn't get a contract extension. Vasilevskiy did. But they weren't, like, ready to just give mm-hmm. him the net until the trade deadline, where they traded away Brian Boyle. They made their team worse because they didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. They need to have more confidence in him and his ability to be that number one goalie. But at least they have a serviceable backup in Jonas Anroth, who had a very good season in who had a very good season in the AHL and who could at least take a little bit of that pressure off. But goaltending and Steven Stamkos is really what it's going to come down to with this team.
Completely agree. And if it were me, I'm betting Stamkos can't stay healthy, because yeah. I feel like that's the bet.
What do you think it's going to be this year? Because it's always something with that guy, but
I'm not going to predict which bone he's going to break, but he will break a bone is my prediction. Man. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the guy, because the NHL is more fun when the stars are healthy, and he's one of them. And
right.
You'd like to see, like I said, that dynamic duo. I mean, they're fun to watch.
And we haven't even talked about Victor Hedman. No. We haven't even talked about that guy on the back end, who is a very, very good defenseman who's only getting better. But yeah, Steven Stamkos and his health is really the biggest question mark going into the season. And I mean, you're talking about a guy that missed pretty much the entire year last year. How good is he going to be coming back? How much rust is he going to have on him?
We'll see. I mean, I don't think he'll be rusty. I mean, it's like riding a bike. He'll get out there and start scoring goals until he gets hurt again. Hope
All
I'm
right.
wrong.
So where do you have Tampa?
I've got Tampa finishing fifth, mm-hmm. just out of the playoffs with 90 points, similar to last year. Like you said, even if these guys go down, I mean, they've got enough talent to, it's not like they're going to just completely suck. They're going to be right there regardless.
Right. Yeah. I want to say that Tampa makes a step, but I also want to say that, you know, Steven Stamkos can be healthy. And I don't think that I can honestly say that. I think Tampa is one of those teams that should be in the playoffs, but probably won't be. So let's go on to their state counterparts, the Florida Panthers. My main question to you is this. I mean, how are these guys going to win without Jaromir Jagr?
It's impossible.
It is impossible.
No one can win without
There's going to be no Stanley Cup champion this year because Jaromir Jagr is not signed by an NHL franchise.
Yeah, no. The Florida Panthers' loss is Vegas' gain, is what I have written. Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault, Gerard Gallant, all solid players and coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, the biggest mistake they've ever made was firing Gallant, especially the way they did it.
Yeah,
That team, they got Dadonov, I know. That was the guy that everybody wanted in Vegas because he played with Shipachov mm-hmm. over in the KHL.
Yep.
I personally, and I know other people that agree with me, that Dadonov is not what Shipachov is. He's nowhere near that good, but he got paid almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Florida Panthers are a mess.
They have no identity. Like, I have no idea. Do you know who the captain is of the Florida Panthers?
It's Jaromir Jagr still, right?
No, it's not. It's not. You know, ironically, Jaromir Jagr was never the captain of the Florida Panthers.
He was the captain in our hearts.
He was the captain of everyone's heart, I guess. But it's Derek McKenzie. Who the hell is Derek McKenzie? You've got Barkov, you've got Bukestad, you've got Huberto, you've got Aaron Ekblad for crying out loud, and you've got a fourth line plug as the captain of your team. That is a fundamental issue. You take a guy like Aaron Ekblad and you say, this is your team. You are good enough to have this be your team. Take the reins. Why are they not doing it? I don't know what is going on with this team, but they had a very good team that just devolved into an absolute dumpster fire last year, and I think it's going to continue this year.
They had an outstanding first year with Gerard Gallant.
Mm-hmm.
They started the second season. Everyone had high expectations for him. It looked like he was building a good thing. They had a couple guys get hurt,
mm-hmm.
and they started slow. And they were like barely below 500. It's not like they were like 3-18 to start the season.
Sure.
They had a slow start, and then they just kicked Gallant out, tore everything down, and restarted. It makes no sense. They had what looked like a good base. They were building in the right direction, and then they tore it down because that's what terrible organizations do.
And they've also got a 38-year-old Roberto Luongo as their number one goalie.
Yeah. Florida Panthers are in last place. I feel like we can go on to the next team.
Yeah, that's about all I got on them, too. So we'll go ahead and do another team that is a complete dumpster fire as well, the Detroit Red Wings, okay? All I've got on the Detroit Red Wings is this. How crappy is life without Pavel Datsyuk?
It sucks, man.
Yeah, it does.
He was amazing. He finally retired after a trillion years.
Mm-hmm.
I've got written, they're just old and slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Henrik Zetterberg cannot carry this team anymore.
Nope.
They really need someone young to step up. That guy could be Dylan Larkin.
That's exactly what I have. Is Dylan Larkin a difference maker? I don't know that he is. He's fast, but is he a dynamic offensive talent? I don't think so. And it's going to be lean times in Detroit for a while because they've got to get back to what made them such a model franchise for 25 years, drafting well and developing young talent. They're going to have to be patient there because it's not happening this year.
Completely agree. Yeah, I haven't finished near the bottom. The only thing they have going for them, goaltending.
Yeah.
Jimmy Howard's still solid.
Yep.
And Peter Mrazek should be a Golden Knight. He's solid.
Yeah, but he's a head case, right?
Yeah.
He's just too much of a distraction, that guy.
Yep.
Oh, man. So we're good on Detroit. I have Florida and Detroit finishing seventh and eighth. They're going to be awful. They're not going to be good. But here's a team that I'm very intrigued on, and it's the Buffalo Sabres. And it's not just because my wife is from Buffalo and her entire family is from Buffalo. I swear it's not that. And it's not because, you know, Brian Blessing tells us every year that the Sabres are going to win the Stanley Cup, because he does do that, and it's not going to happen this year. But is this the year of Jack Eichel?
It's the year of Jack Eichel. I just don't know if it's the year for the rest of the Buffalo Sabres. Jack Eichel is an absolute monster.
So let me stop
you. So good.
Let me stop you right there, because we talked about Sidney Crosby, we talked about Connor McDavid, and we talked about Austin Matthews being generational, once in a lifetime talents. Is Jack Eichel in the same league as those players?
No, I don't want to go that far.
No?
I mean, I want to see it before I go that far, but
right.
I mean, he's absolutely, like, is he a guy you want to build your team around? Absolutely.
Right.
And they need help defensively, and you got to give them credit for trying.
Yeah.
The Sabres went out and they got Marco Scandella, they got Nathan Beaulieu. I mean, they're bringing in guys that at least they're trying. And
right.
If those guys come in and do what they need them to do, and Eichel plays the whole season and is the monster that we both think he is,
sure,
they could sneak into the playoffs.
Right. Now, I agree with you on that, but it's going to depend on, to me, their defense has to be better, obviously. Their goaltending has to be good. Robin Leonard can't get hurt. He's got to play the entire year. I still don't know if he's a legit number one goalie or not, but he's the best goalie that they have, so it's going to have to work, right? But Pominville is going to have to chip in some timely goals. Okposo's going to have a better year, hands down. And Ryan O'Reilly is going to have to elevate his teammates in the same way that Jack Eichel can turn Evander Kane into a 25-goal scorer again. Mm-hmm. Ryan O'Reilly's got to be able to do that, surrounded by better talent with Kyle Okposo. And Matt Molson needs to figure out how to score a goal again, too. I mean, the goal scoring is going to be the Achilles heel for this team. It's not going to be defense, in my opinion. They've got to get four lines rolling. They've got to figure out what Evan Rodriguez is, if he's going to be an NHL player. And if he is, they've got to put the puck in the net. They've got to be a dynamic offensive team, because there's too many question marks, to me, surrounding their goaltending and Robin Leonard.
Agreed. Yeah. I agree. I agree on most of that. I think they have the potential to be a solid team, not a great team.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, they'll finish just out of the playoffs. I think I have them fifth.
So you think that this is the year that the Buffalo Sabres are playing meaningful games in March and early April?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I think they're on the right track. And yeah, I think that, I don't know if they'll make it, but they'll
right.
at least be making a push for it.
So that's our thoughts. These are our thoughts on the Atlantic Division. Obviously, I don't know if you've persuaded me a little bit on Ottawa, but I see where you're coming from. I get the how solid they are. And here's something that I figure out. We'll throw this in. We got a little bit of time. Will Butcher. Let's get your thoughts, Jesse, on Will Butcher, because we know you are a Colorado Avalanche fan. And it's got to suck. It's got to suck right now knowing that he's not going to sign with Colorado.
I am an Avalanche fan, but I'm also a huge Denver University fan, the Pioneers. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching them. I've skated on their ice back when I used to play in Colorado. I mm-hmm. love the Denver Pioneers and the Colorado College Hockey Tigers, mm-hmm. which are hated rivals in Colorado. So when I tell people I like both, they're like, oh, that's gross. How can you possibly do that? But I like them both. But Will Butcher single-handedly led Denver to a national championship this year. Yes, they had like eight other guys that are going to the NHL. I don't want to make it sound like he's on some garbage team. That team is good.
Yeah.
He was by far the most important player on the team. He is going to be a good NHL defenseman. I don't want to say great. He's going to be good. Patrick Waugh didn't like that he was undersized, I guess.
Yeah, good guy.
Come on,
Patrick.
He's 5'10", 200 pounds. We love Brännström. He's the size of Will Butcher's left thigh. And actually, their games are similar.
Yeah.
Very offensive. He skates unbelievably well, especially mm-hmm. for a defenseman. He was drafted in the fifth round, and everyone sees that. But that was before people figured out how good he was. They drafted him way back before he even played a game for Denver University.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, his points per game at Denver, he started out as a freshman. He only got 0.42 points per game. Then 0.47, 0.82, 0.86. Every year he got better,
mm-hmm.
he was the Hobey Baker Award winner. I mean,
right? Doesn't get any better than that.
The guy's really good. And you know what the best part about it is? The team that signs him can only pay him a two-year deal worth $925,000 a year, just the league entrance contract. You're going to get a guy that can absolutely come into the NHL and play. Now, I don't think it's a question of whether the Golden Knights want him. They absolutely want him.
Right. And he's met with the Golden Knights.
Yes, he met with five teams. The Buffalo Sabres, New Jersey Devils, Columbus Blue Jackets, and one other team that I'm not sure of.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for a fact he met with all those teams. And so let's put ourselves in Will Butcher's shoes. You got these teams. Now you've got the Buffalo Sabres and New Jersey Devils have almost no depth on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're looking at which team I have a better chance of making the NHL roster, it's probably the Devils or the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Knights, as we know, have a log jam on their defensive side.
Right.
They already have too many players, and if you bring in Butcher, you're probably going to have to get rid of another one.
Right.
So he could end up starting in the AHL. But he can be one of those defensive cornerstones that you build around. And as much defense as the Golden Knights have, they don't have guys. They've got Shea Theodore.
Right.
And Brännström.
Yep.
Every other guy on this team, in 3 years, 4 years, when they want to compete, you don't know if any of these guys are even going to be here. I mean, Schmidt is good for now, but like
2 years and he's injured. So
I truly think if they could get Butcher, he can be one of those cornerstones that you look going forward that is absolutely on this team.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up because you made a comparison between Butcher and Brännström. Okay. You bring in a guy like Butcher, you can then let your fans know, hey, we're going to pump the brakes on Brännström. We're going to let him develop because we've got this guy that's got a comparable game. He might not have as high of an upside as, say, an Erik Brännström, but at least we've got a young guy, a young pivot on defense that's going to grow into the role, that's going to get better by playing in the NHL. And, you know, if I'm McPhee, I want Butcher because, you know, if I've got to get rid of a couple of extra defensemen or whatever it is to get somebody that can give me another, you know, maybe 8 to 10 years of solid, good, hard-nosed hockey. I want that. I want the future. I want the future. So to me, I hope that the Golden Knights are doing everything that they can to get Butcher.
And I think they are. And like one huge thing is, it's not going to come down to contract because
mm-hmm.
all these teams are offering him the same contract.
Right.
They can't offer more even if they wanted to.
What about incentives, though? Can they offer?
So they can offer him 2 years, $925,000 mm-hmm. with up to $2.8 million in incentives per year.
Okay.
Which is a lot.
Yep.
And I'm sure any team's going to offer him that because
right.
if he hits those incentives, he's well worth $3 million.
Absolutely.
So what it's going to come down to is, does he think he can make the roster?
Mm-hmm.
Or where does $925,000 stretch further? And we talked about this.
Yes.
When you're in Vegas and you have no income tax and the price of living is extremely low, $925,000 is a huge amount of money.
Absolutely.
You look at the Buffalo Sabres and the New Jersey Devils, where mm-hmm. the state income tax is insanely high. The price of living is even higher.
Yep.
Come on, Will Butcher. Hey. We need you in Vegas.
Will Butcher, this is the Rink Rats podcast. You listen. We know you're a listener. So just come to Vegas. Jesse and I want to meet you. We want to talk about how good of a hockey player you are. You might actually be, if you sign between now and the next podcast, we might be able to get you on the show. We'll work you into our busy schedule. But Will Butcher, come to Vegas. This is an unsolicited solicitation. Come to Vegas, please. Please come to Vegas.
Would love to get Will Butcher on this team.
Would love to get him on the show.
Absolutely.
The show's more important than the team, right?
Yeah, for now.
For now. Well, at least, you know, until October.
Until they're on TV.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to wrap it up. We always like to finish on a high note. This has been the Rink Rats podcast with Ryan the Hockey Guy and Jesse Granger. We will be back next Monday, and we will be talking about the Metropolitan Division. That's the division that the Washington Capitals, who are never, ever going to win a Stanley Cup, play in. It's also the division that the reigning two-time Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins play in. Until next time, make sure to follow us on Twitter. Jesse, where are you at?
At @JesseGranger_.
I am at @RyanHockeyGuy on Twitter. Go to iTunes. Subscribe to Rink Rats. Go to LasVegasSportsNetwork.com. Listen to Rink Rats. We will see you next week.